Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, God, that we have the King James Bible, Lord, the Bible you want us to read, you want us to live by, you want us to memorize, you want us to apply into our hearts. I ask you, please be with us now, Lord, as we've gathered here, Lord, not just for the social interaction, Lord, though that's enjoyable, but Lord, we want to hear something from you. Lord, help us to come to you hungry and thirsty for you to fill us. We thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing here in our church, and we just trust for what you're going to do this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to hit a new topic tonight, and I'm excited about this. I've had this outline for many weeks. I didn't give it yet, but tonight we're going to investigate it. But I want to help you tonight. Tonight's Bible study, honestly, is one of the most practical and should be transformative kinds of lessons for you. So I want you to pay attention tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I want you to notice the word chastening there. All right. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if it be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, I want to clarify something and help you understand the Bible a little differently in what I believe is a bit more rightly. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we misrepresent the Bible by what we know and what we see. Does that make sense? Let me show you what I mean. God says that he wants to be our Father. Well, that's a very good word for some people. That's not a good word for other people. Here's what happens. And this is, I've watched preachers do it. I can't tell you that I haven't done it. Sometimes we will take a term like Father, and we look at it through our eyes, not God's. You have to understand something. The word Father to me is a precious word. I don't mean to be unkind. I'm not saying something that I shouldn't, but there are people in this room, you may not even know who your father is. So it's not really that important of a word to you. God never intended us to read the Bible as we see it. He wants us to read it as he sees it. Some of us have tried to be good fathers, but we're not supposed to judge God based on what we did as sinners. And if we're not careful, we'll interpret this through our eyes, not through his eyes. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Now hang on for a second here. No sinful human can be the father that God is and God wants to be. Not a one of us. You see, because we often fail to see it positionally from God's view. We can't practically apply then scriptures about being a father when we're sinners. He's never sinned. I'm going to say something here. My wife has never met her biological dad. Not one time. I tracked him down, took 7 years. Sent a pastor in a distant state to him. Led him to the Lord. I was trying to work it out for them to meet. We went with see Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles looked at her and said, could you live the rest of your life and not see him? She said, I've lived this long. He said, Brother Craig, he said, don't mess everybody's life up. I thought, I spent 7 years trying to find this rascal. He said, you did what you wanted. He got saved. Don't worry about it. Let him meet in heaven. Now that would have driven me up a wall. Speak, Lord. Thy phone heareth me. That may have driven me up a wall because my definition of dad or father is much different. Does that make sense to everybody? Some of you had good experiences. Some of you have had less than good experiences. Some of us have tried to be good fathers. Some of us have failed. Some have been better fathers than other fathers, but none of us compare to God. Not a one of us. I'll guarantee on our best day, God's still better than us on his worst day. Amen. So if we're not careful, we'll start looking at the Bible through how we see it and how we see that word. And that's not what I want us to do. Now, because God is our Father, if we're saved. Bible says if we're saved, we become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, if we are all sons of God, guess who our Father is? God. Doesn't take much to figure that out. I want you to notice something. God, because he's our Father, the Bible says this, he wants to chasten us. He wants to chasten us. Now, here's where most everybody is going to be off in Scripture. What does the word chasten mean? Don't answer that. Most people think the word chasten means to correct, to punish, paddle, discipline as far as corporal or that type of punishment. But the word chastise, the word chasten, does not mean that. The word chasten, the root word of the word chasten or chastisement is the word chaste. C-H-A-S-T-E. You've heard of chastity. It means to restrain. It means to train. It means to educate. It means to instruct with hardness or discipline as far as training character. It does not mean correction. Chastening is not a correction. It's preventive. Chastening is a training process. Chastening is a purity thing. I want you to do this purely right. I want you to have pure character. I want you to have the discipline to do it. If you're supposed to be somewhere for work at 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't show up at 8:05. If you're supposed to be at an appointment at 9 o'clock, that you're there a little early, not coming in at 9:10. We live in a society that doesn't know what it means to be on time. I hate to tell you, I think it's a sin to be late. Amen. When I went to Bible college, you sit in a college of 2,000 people. If you were a minute late, Brother House considered you 2,000 minutes late because you wasted 2,000 people's 1 minute. And he was right. Now you calculate how many minutes 2,000 are. That's hours and hours and hours and hours. You see, we look at it so flippantly. Well, I was only a minute late. No, you're late. Period. I remember my first job after I got it. My dad showed up and he told the boss, if he's ever late, fire him. By the way, I wasn't late. Remember one time when I was in Bible college, we were driving from Sherville to Valparaiso. And that's a long haul on Route 30, let me tell you. We got about 4 miles outside of Valparaiso, between Merrillville and Valparaiso, and got a flat tire. Thought, oh no. And this is the day before there ever was something called a cell phone. We hobbled off the road. I ran across the road to a gas station, ran a half a mile to get there, found a quarter in my car, called the shop and said, I got a flat tire. I got a guy with me that is going to work. Both of us are in the car together, carpooling. We're going to change this tire and be there, but I might be a couple minutes late. I said, I got to run a half mile back to the car and change it. He's already working on getting it jacked up while I'm doing this. They said, all right, no problem. I ran back. He was just breaking lugs. I'm reaching in the trunk, pulling tire out. He got that one off. I slapped that one on. He starts lugs up. I throw the other one in. We get that thing jacked down. I'd run a mile. I got in my car and we started going. Well, it was a 81 Escort. You didn't go. You went. Anyway, a little 4-speed. But by the way, I pulled into work 2 minutes early. Clocked in. I was in the locker room when the buzzer went off. I walked out to my supervisor and apologized for being late. He said, you weren't late, you clocked in. I said, usually I'm already at my machine when the buzzer rings. He said, Craig, you guys are always so early. A couple minutes isn't going to hurt you, but the phone call sure did help. He said, how far did you run? I told him, he said, you're nuts. Just show up late next time. I said, you don't know my daddy. I said, trust me, you don't know my daddy. Can I tell you something? I was taught chastisement, chastening. My dad chastened me. He wasn't mean and harsh. He wasn't all the time beating me and beating it into me. He was teaching me that purity of character. That's what the word chasten means. You say, well, preacher, that's not what I've been taught. I'm sorry, you've been taught wrong. Look at verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth and scourgeth. Oh, scourging is what you think chastening is. He's not going to use the same word twice. Now, let me help you tonight. When God says chasten, he's talking about training us. He wants us to learn to act more like him and less like our sinful flesh. He wants us to react and be taught and trained and live in a spiritual realm in our physical life and respond as he would, not the way our flesh wants us to. You see, he wants us to restrain our sinful flesh so that we can live more like him. Before we run our mouth and we blow up, we're supposed to stop and think and ask the Holy Spirit what to do so that we don't act that way. I didn't say you'd never want to act that way. I've wanted to act that way many a time. I was going to a meeting not long ago. Brother Anthony was with me, and I said, do me a favor. If I say something I shouldn't, stop me before I say it. I'll tell you why, because I wanted to pop off at somebody. I said, preacher, you didn't say that. Yes, I did. But I didn't want to make a fool of myself either. Wasn't going to help anything, but that's what my flesh wanted to do. I didn't need to be in the flesh. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, come on. I'm just preaching right at our level tonight. Amen. So let me give you 3 thoughts tonight, and I want to help you. I think I can get you out maybe just a couple minutes early. Number one, God wants us closer to him because of chastening, not running away from him because of chastening. Chastening is supposed to draw us closer to him, not cause us to run away. Look at verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Let me put it at a ridiculous level here. If you are 40 years old and your mom and dad never potty trained you, you'd be kind of embarrassed, wouldn't you? Now, we got a 80-year-old president that doesn't remember, but anyway, I won't go there. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But just depends. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, it's called potty training. Not teaching, training. Some of you ought to be thankful your parents taught you how to do it. Be kind of embarrassing at 30, 40, 50 years old not knowing how to do it. True? So there are some things that you were taught and trained in life. You do naturally now. That's exactly what God wants us to be spiritually. He wants us to be trained. And that training process, you didn't get it the first time you tried it. It took a lot of encouragement and a lot of mishaps and a lot of cleanup. Everybody doing okay? I'm just bringing it down. Did you know that that's what the word chasten means? Not necessarily potty training, but training. If you have an animal, a dog, you're supposed to train it. It should listen when it wants to. Now, wait a minute. They're man can train any animal. God made it to where there's not an animal on the face of the earth man cannot tame. Lion tamers, yeah. People that tame wolves, lions, panthers, cougars, you name it. You watch these people that work in these zoos and handle these animals. Giant elephants and rhinoceroses. You talk about an ugly beast. And a rhino. They have those things trained so well that They know exactly how to respond at what point in time for medications and different things. See, God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and every creeping thing creep upon the face of the earth. We can train whales, sharks, you name it. But it takes training, chastening. That's what the word chasten means. God tells us not to hate or despise chasing because eventually you'll be thankful for it. Boys and girls, you ought to be glad you have parents that are willing to chasten you. Parents, be willing to chasten them. Well, they might hate me. No, they'll hate you if you don't. I heard my oldest son say about several years ago. He was preaching. He said, I used to honestly almost hate my dad. He said, my dad, we worked and we worked and we worked. He said, now we played hard, but we worked. We did wood and we did this and we did that. We're all the time going to help somebody. Sometimes we didn't get to go do the things we wanted because somebody else needed something. He said, but I hated it then, but I'm thankful for it now. He said, life wasn't all work, but I found out if I know how to work, when the time comes to play, the play is a whole lot better. Too many people think that chastening means let's play this game together and not yell at each other. No, sit down at our family table when we're playing games and there's lots of yelling going on. My wife's real good. It gets pretty hectic, but I trained them to work hard. That's why none of them ever been without a job. God chastens us out of love so that we can be better than we thought possible. Somebody once said, you better be careful. Your kids are going to outdo you. Hope they do. I hope they do. Brother Jim, I hope my son can preach longer than his dad has preached and see more people saved. I hope my children knock on more doors than I've knocked on. I hope my children will stand as strong for the things of God, as strong or stronger than I have until the day they die. I hope they do outdo me. I'm not in a competition. I trained them for it. Everybody doing okay? Say, what, preacher? Oh, I'm not going to let them beat me yet. I remember when the boys decided they were going to beat Dad at golf. Neither one of them had played. Well, I whooped them. They're young, dumb. They started playing more, started getting better. One of them was honestly a better golfer than I, but knew how to get in his head. Brother Kevin, we'd start, and I'd say, think you're going to beat me today? Oh, yeah, Dad, I'm going to beat you. He said, well, we'll see. He'd get up and I said, you sure you're going to beat me? And about every two or three holes, I'd say, you sure you're going to beat me? And first bad shot he'd have, I'd say, you sure you're going to beat me? And the more I talked, the harder he tried, and the harder he tried, the worse he got. In West Virginia, it's called a West Virginia mouth wedge. Amen? It's not a club in the bag, but it's up here. I learned how to get in their head. Both of them were bigger and stronger and hit the ball farther than me. I just knew how to talk my way around it, get in their head. They'd say something, I'd laugh it off and whoosh. It took years for one of them to beat me. Years. Now, they're both bigger and stronger than me, rip me in half, and I get it. I don't want to tangle with either one of them. But can I tell you something? We chastened them. And they learned that character that goes with it. Verse 7 says that it's supposed to bring a closer relationship. Training is to bring a closer to relationship with God. Please don't take this the wrong way. But chastening has to be endured. Boys and girls, you have to endure school. School is chastening. Well, it's just so long. Believe me, it's short in comparison to how long life's going to be. Give me your math problems or your English problems or your science problems any day of the week compared to any problem I have. I'd rather have a book problem than a people problem any day. You take the phone calls I've gotten in the last 48 hours. Everybody doing okay? I can go down the list. You see, I'd rather have, well, I just don't like math. I don't like it either. But I'd rather have a math problem than some of the problems I've had to deal with this week. Because that's real life and death stuff. You want to whine and complain and sit there and fudge and fiddle and piddle around and waste your life? Then do it. But you're not going to learn how to live life. In the getting of chastening, we learn to understand God better. I remember after Josh was born, he started crawling. He's always been active. He was about 8 months old, 10 months old, a little more than that, a little over a year old. We were in South Carolina. I came in one day, and I heard something in his room, and I looked up. He had crawled up the changing table and was standing on top playing with the light switches and stuff. Uh-oh. He got done. I picked up the phone. I called my mom. I said, I'm sorry. She said, what? And I told him. She just started laughing. She said, oh, son, that's just the first of many. And she was right. My daughter has seen herself and her son. I said, just remember, you reap more than you sowed. She said, oh, Daddy. I said, yeah. You'll see a lot of yourself, trust me. God wants us closer to him because of chastening, not farther. God wants us closer. By the way, the people in life you respect most trained you most. The people you respect most in life trained you most. Why don't we let God train us? Number two, chastening is good, but scourging may not be. Chastening is a good thing. Scourging's not so good. Look at verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The word scourge means to whip or to punish severely. That's literally what the word means. To whip, to paddle, to punish severely. Scourging is not enjoyable. Chastening can be. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Notice he uses the word chastening and correction. Just like we use the word chastisement or chasten and scourging. God said, despise not the chastening of the Lord. I'll guarantee the teachers you hated most in school taught you the most. They were just so hard. I had to do so much work and they made me do this. Yeah, but you learned it. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. This word chastise or chasten, it's used many times in Scripture. Not as much as you might think, but Revelation chapter 3, look at verse number 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Notice that God says, those that I love, I chasten and I rebuke. I correct them harshly. God will only punish his own children for their continual disobedience and stubbornness, not the change in fixing a problem. Punishment is not intended because something embarrasses you that your child does or something bothers you. Punishment is because they have violated a rule and they're too stubborn to keep it. Everybody doing okay? That's biblical. Now hang on here. I want you to know something. God says he'll punish us. You hard-headed? In the words of Jamie Jackson, if you're going to be dumb, you're going to hurt. If you're going to be hard-headed, my dad used to say, if you're going to have a hard head, you're going to have a soft hindermost part. What's that mean? If you're not going to listen, you're going to get whipped again. He's going to tenderize the meat. Amen? And he did. Hebrews chapter 12. We were there. Look at verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Some of you had parents that corrected you kind of harshly, and you give them reverence. You love them because of it. Then why do we complain when God does it? Ouch. Let me read a few verses out of Proverbs. You need not turn there, but I'll read straight from the Bible. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's amazing to me when somebody starts despising instruction and wisdom. That's when you're going to watch this preacher pop off. I can do a lot. Somebody starts thumbing their nose at God, look out. Somebody starts rejecting education, I'll just shut down. I'll cloud up and rain. Proverbs chapter 15, let me turn there. I should have kept my Bible open there. Proverbs chapter 15, it's okay, it'll open there very quickly, amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 5. Oh, these pages, here we go. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Verse 20, in the same chapter, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Boys and girls, watch how somebody talks about their mom and dad. Somebody that talks bad about their parents, stay away from them. Amen. Don't ever date somebody like that. Amen. Hey, girls, if you're going to date a young man someday when you're 30 or 40, when you start dating one day, you better find out how he talks about his mama. Amen. If he doesn't talk good about his mama and how he, by the way, how he treats his mama is how he's going to treat you. Amen. Fellas, you better watch these girls, how they treat their daddy. They back talk him and sass him and talk nasty to him, got a bad attitude. What do you think you're going to wake up to one day? Everybody doing okay? I hadn't even preached to the kids yet. Remember verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof and getteth understanding. You know, we got to learn to not enjoy being corrected and scourged. But if we'll accept it, if we'll receive it and we'll change because of it, God will bring reward with that. I used to say this to my children. They can still quote it, I promise you. Well, let me say it this way. Suffering early in life is better than suffering all of life. Amen. Parents, if you'll fight the battle early in life, you won't have to fight. They won't have to fight the battle all their life. Amen. Trouble is, it's easier to soften up than it is to crack down. I used to teach teachers all the time, and I still tell them this. Don't smile for the first 6 weeks. Don't smile. Make them think you're the meanest ogre in the world. Can tell you why? Because it's easier to back off, but once you backed off, they know your weakness. When I taught, they were shocked when I started having fun in class. They were afraid to have fun. Is it okay? Yeah, for now. But when I say stop, stop. Okay. They knew. You see, God would rather teach us early in life and make the rest of life easier than to let, we'll fix that later. Too late. Chastening, scourging doesn't fix the problem. This is what my kids can quote. But it might remind you the next time you're about to do it that you don't want to do that. Paddling doesn't fix the problem. I will agree with that. But it is a physical reminder that you probably ought not want to do that again. Amen. Last time I did that, that didn't turn out so well. Maybe I won't do that again. It didn't fix the problem, but it was a physical reminder that it's going to happen again. You see, that's why you have to be consistent. Parents, your children aren't stupid. They know how to work around you. That's why you have to be smarter than they are and ask a lot of questions. Chastening is the instruction or training. Scourging comes because of purposeful disobedience. Purposeful disobedience. And I got to hurry here. Number three, chastening is long-term and must be endured. You know, you don't overnight potty train a child. You don't start on Monday and by Tuesday everything's happening the way it should. If it was, it was miraculous, trust me. It just doesn't happen that way. Well, I waited till they were 8. Well, then maybe then. But usually it takes a while. It takes a lot of repetition. You know, that's why in school there's lots of homework, lots of quizzes, lots of tests, because it takes training over and over and over and over and over and over again. First grade, you're learning your math facts. In second grade, you're doing speed drills. In first grade, too. In second grade, third grade, fourth grade. The speed drills. You say, well, I'm so sick and tired of speed drills. Well, if you know them so easy, you shouldn't be sick and tired of them. Because when you get to algebra, you're going to be thankful for the fact that you know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide without using your fingers and toes. And if you don't get it early, you're going to struggle the rest of your life. I promise you, Mrs. Barnes can tell you, she can start throwing numbers at me and I can get within just that close of things. Say, how? I just have this ability to add, subtract, multiply, divide very, 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 very quickly because I know my math facts. Now, don't start putting letters with it and tangents and square roots and all the other stuff. Forget that mess. That's not math. You just start throwing other things in there. That's alphabet soup crowd stuff, amen? I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. But just that the simple basics. If you just get the basics down, there's not much you can't do in life. Amen. Do you know how a professional baseball player, have you ever watched him at the home run derby? Launching long balls. Do you know what they do in between at-bats? They go back under the tunnel and put the ball on a tee. And they hit a baseball off a tee like a kindergartner playing t-ball. Why? They're training their eye for a ball that's coming into that zone and that zone alone. They're looking for that pitch to enter the zone that is at the right location for them to launch it as a long ball. When a baseball hitter, pro athlete, is in a hitting slump, they take him back and put the ball on a tee, and they hit thousands of balls off a stupid tee. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the basics. Amen. It's that simple. I'm tired of the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Welcome to life. Amen. Alarm goes off, get up, shower, grab something to eat, go to work, work all day, come home, work at home, listen to kids, nag and cry, fuss, feud, everything else, and put everybody to bed and start it all over again. You go to college, class, 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 chapel, class, work, here we go. Start it all over. Class, 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 chapel, class. 5 days a week, Saturday all day, ministry, Sunday all day, ministry, Monday morning, class, 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 chapel, class. Life is nothing but the same thing over and over and over. Get used to it. Boy, that's good stuff. I gotta hurry here. Any training requires time and repetition. It requires time, endurance, and it's usually not natural. You don't learn to hunt by walking out the first time and killing everything. It takes a long time. You might get lucky once, but it isn't going to happen that way every time. It's training and retraining and training and retraining and training and retraining. Man, you learn to bow hunt, you really find out what kind of hunter you are. Because all of a sudden you get excited and your heart's going. You think, oh great, here it comes. Well, if you did it too fast, you got spooked, deer looking at you. And they say, see ya. Or you did it too soon, and now you got to wait 3 minutes going, because you can't hold it any longer. And you got to let it down, and hopefully you didn't lose your arrow on the way down. And your arms are so wore out, when you do get the shot, you can't hardly pull it back. And it's training yourself to wait for the exact right moment. Right. It's called basic training. Basic training takes what a young man knows, puts it on hold and said, forget it, we're going to train you how to think now. We're going to take you where you are, strip everything off of you. We're going to train you into this. Then we'll put some of this back in that was there, but most of that you won't need anymore. What do you mean, preacher? Well, in normal life, you hear gunshots, you want to go away. If you're trained in the military, you're trained to go towards it. Basic training. You have to retrain, reprogram the head. My son's excited about going over to Jordan. I'm not real excited about it. He is. He's been trained for it. So I've got to trust God and his training. Everybody doing okay? There is reward in enduring chastening or training. Look at verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You gain the fruit of your labor. I didn't always enjoy English grammar class. Becky Hartline or Mrs. Hummerkauser. But when I went to Bible college and sat there in my first English 101 class, about a week in, and for some reason, the class I was in, there's about 30 of us in that class, and probably 20 of them were pastor's refreshers guys. That means this, every one of those guys in there was 30, 40, 50 years old, already pastored for years, came back to college to get some extra training. And I'm 18 years old. And then a bunch of girls in there. And my little sweet old English teacher gets up and she's having us do something. And I'm sitting there and I'm going through my book and making certain lines. And she's all of a sudden I feel eyeballs looking over my shoulder. You ever been there? Mr. Bush, what are you doing? I said, aren't we going to diagram? She said, yes. I said, well, I already diagrammed it. She said, what's all those marks? I said, that's what line they go on the diagram. I said, there's no sense in writing all the doojigger letters on there. I know what line looks like. Know where to put it. She said, diagram that for me. She said, do the next one like that. I did. She said, go. She said, hang on. She wrote a sentence on the board and she said, now do that on the board. And everybody's sitting there watching me. One of these guys said, are you a secretary or what? That looks like shorthand. I said, no. I said, it's just sentence analysis. I said, instead of writing noun, pronoun, direct object, you know, subject, verb, I said, I just put what line it is over top of it, and I don't have to write all those letters out. She said, can I talk to you in the hallway? I thought, oh, brother, I failed the third day of class, you know. She said, we got a lot of men in this class. She said, you know as much about this as I do. Would you take them in and teach them after I've taught the lesson and help them? I said, yep. She said, I'll make sure you get an A. She said, you'll have to take the test, but you'll get an A. Don't you worry. I said, no problem. I was glad I endured the chastening of English class. There's men in the ministry that I taught English to when I was a student with them in class. You have the knowledge and ability for long-term success if you endure the chastening. It's not immediate. My mom, my dad used to tell the story of my brother. Went to school, kindergarten, 5 years old, gets off the bus, comes home. My mom looked at him and said, Chris, how was your day? He said, I hated it. She said, well, why? He said, didn't learn to write my name and I had to take a nap. He said, I can do that at home. And my brother never did like school from that day on. Trust me. Yeah. God allows us to suffer here so that we don't have to suffer eternally. Chastening may not seem enjoyable now, but in eternity it will be. You see, the key to chastening and scourging is for us to do it right. It's to remind you that there are consequences with wrongdoing and to rely on our training. Chastisement is not punishment. It's character training. Scourging is punishment and needed when we disobey our character training. That's what sets us apart as a Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Chastisement. Chastisement isn't mean. It's love. God wants to be our Father, and whom He loves, He chastens. Maybe we ought not despise the chastening of the Lord. Maybe we ought to say, God, I'll endure it. I'd like to have the eternal results that come from it.